All right, this is Pure Decking Show number 300. For 300, we decided to do something special by not doing anything special. This is Pure Decking for Thursday. Back into the show format now because I already fucked it up. Thursday, March 22nd. I don't know. Somebody tell me what year it is. This is a show about stuff that interests...
1812.
What?
1812.
Sure, 1812. Why not? This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, pointing out how rigged the game is, and realizing we've been doing this crap for too long. I'm Morps, and tonight we have a very drunk Syntax. Syntax, what are you drinking?
Woohoo! Jepson's Malort with Corona Bax.
Jepson, got it. Are you? Are you? What are you drinking?
I have nothing. Sorry, I was doing something. You caught me off, man.
Sad day.
Water.
Madman, what are you drinking?
Sam Adams Cold Snap.
Okay. And Sard, what are you drinking?
Not top. Maybe I'll have to break out the scotch later on. Episode 300 and all.
Yeah. And I've currently got some bullet rye, which is quite tasty. So... we have been doing this shit too long now. 300 of these damn things.
In February 12th in 1812, the metric system came into being.
And I think the White House gets burned down as well.
Yeah, that's because I think there might have been a war on.
yeah.
May have even named it after that year. Not certain.
against Canada.
Yes, that was it, Syntax. It was the War of 1812 against Canada, the little battle nobody ever talked about.
Well, I mean, technically Canada was part of France, England, someone.
Both.
I don't know. Yeah. Britain. Yeah. And then they were like, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to burn the White House down. That's all I remember from school.
Psychros is questioning my choice of whiskeys. Still tastes good. I don't care.
Wait, is it your whiskey that tastes like perfume, or is it Jepson's Malort? Because that's...
I don't know. I don't think bullet rye tastes like perfume, personally.
Because that's actually a really good description of what Malort tastes like. Either, like, chugging a bottle of perfume or the product of a gypsy curse.
You all have bourbon. We have rye up here. Okay, well, fair enough. I mean, this is bullet bourbon rye. I mean, they say rye on the label. I guess Psychro says it's not a real rye. Well, whatever.
Wow, look at this. 1812 was a very violent year in history.
You don't say.
Yeah, man. I'm reading what happened in 1812. I'm like, holy shit. Napoleon retreats back from Moscow. I'm like, dude, I didn't even know he made it that far. That's some interesting stuff. Things you learn.
We have a new listener, or not new listener, but somebody listening live for the first time, KDD in the IRC. What's up, dude? How you doing? Yeah, cool. Anyway, so I guess for anybody who's not aware, we do... the show live on Thursdays, about 9-ish Central. I don't think we've started on time in, like, 2 years.
Morps, why are you yelling at him to get off your lawn?
Well, that would be the real Morps is yelling at him to get off the lawn, and I would assume that is, just judging by the IP addresses, somebody in the Midwest. Anyways. So,
well, I'm glad that I am not in the Midwest.
Yeah, you're in the Southwest. But your proxy is in the fucking Midwest. Anyways.
I don't know what you're talking about. God damn it.
Oh, shit. It's okay. You're doing a better job impersonating Static than me. So, anyways, so in the future, if anybody wants to hop on the IRC and, you know, throw shit at me, I do try to keep an eye at it while we're doing the show live. Of course, the IRC is right on the front of the webpage, galaxy15radio.com. It's also on Freenode, easy way to get in there. And we just recently decided to get up to the 2014 standards and put a certificate on the website, so you can hit it over HTTPS if you want. And
oh, my God. What the... Sorry. I have now typed beer 5 times into my phone, and it didn't... I got near and beat, and yeah.
Yeah, autocorrect has been getting dumber and dumber for the past couple of years.
Or I need to stop drinking.
I've noticed on my phone the autocorrect has gotten really bad lately. And
that's true. So it forgot my, like, God-given name.
What I keep having... Of course, now I work in IT, so I keep trying to throw technical language in there because I'm texting back and forth with people I work with quite a bit. And my God, do you end up having to correct it, go back and fix things a lot. And my favorite is when you go back and fix it and you hit the button to accept it and you press space and it changes it right back to the, you know, fart or whatever word it thinks you're trying to type.
Fucking hate that.
I know.
Yep.
It's like, I've retyped this word Cisco. 3 times. You know, fuck you, Android.
Yeah, exactly. Try typing Cisco UCS Fabric Interconnect into it. Or shortening that. UCSFI. Yeah, it doesn't like that.
Fuck. Well, my favorite...
Yeah, I would imagine.
My favorite is actually...
Amazon?
When huh?
It probably said you meant Amazon?
Yeah. It's like, did you want to give me your credit card number? I can make space on your device for things we think you need.
So,
I've been trying to use the text to speech lately, and that's also hilarious because it just some things it gets fairly close, and some things it's just way out to lunch. So, yeah, AI is going to save the world, right?
Yeah, that's really going to work. Well, it's kind of like my, you know, the autofill on your browsers.
Yeah.
So mine just starts, like, if you just double click it, you know, and it gives you like your most common things, like the first 4 are like SQL injection stuff. Which is
Yeah,
it's weird because, you know, there are times where I'm like, yeah, SQL injection is fun. And then the other times when I'm like actually searching for something and it just pops that up and you have someone go, what is all of that? And then you're like, I have a problem.
It's like, well, this is the reason why Google throws a CAPTCHA at me every time I try to use it.
those are the days.
KDD's got it right on. They're using a dumb phone with T9. That's the right way to go. It really is.
Speaking of dumb phones with T9, have you seen the keister phones?
The keistering? Is this a phone you're supposed to keister?
Yeah, so it's about 1 inch by 1 inch by 3 inches.
Is this that weird, is this the e-paper phone that literally all it does is phone calls and text messages and is like $500?
Yes.
Yeah. I like the concept. If the phone was like $50, you'd have a winner. But no.
Absolutely, yeah.
So.
Yeah. There's some other, I guess, free stuff running in the background, at least from what I've heard. There's some encryption stuff for text, or some hardware encryption stuff for text and phone calls, I guess. But if the other person's not running some sort of encryption, like, it doesn't quite work. But yeah, it's super, super neat, and I haven't looked into it a whole bunch, but I'm like, that would be fun if I was employed.
Fair enough. All right, so let's move on to the first story here. This one is from Ars Technica. The U.S. Senate today passed a bill that weakens legal protections given to websites that host third-party content, saying the measure will help stop the promotion of prostitution and sex trafficking on the Internet. because they've had so much success with that in the past. But this legislation won't actually... I love this. But the legislation won't actually help victims of sex trafficking and will erode online free speech, critics say. The Senate passed the Stop Enabling Sex Traffickers Act because, you know, we wanted to give it a name that nobody could vote against in a 97-2 vote.
It's enabling.
Only Senators Rod and what'd you say, Syntax?
I said everyone. Everyone is enabling the sex traffickers.
Yeah, apparently.
Everyone.
Only Senators Ron Wyden and Rand Paul voted against the bill, which is also known as the Allow States and Victims to Fight Online Sex Trafficking Act. It already passed the House of Representatives and expected to be signed by President Donald Trump. The bill changes Section 230 of the 1996 Communications Decency Act, which provides website operators with broad immunity for hosting third-party content. The bill declares that Section 230 was never intended to provide legal protection to websites that unlawfully promote and facilitate prostitution and websites that facilitate traffickers in advertising the sale of unlawful sex acts with sex trafficking victims. So, whereas that language is hard to argue with, they're not very well defined now, are they? I mean, how are we defining websites that unlawfully promote and facilitate prostitution? How are we defining that? Because Google's... Google's algorithms might be doing that, and no human is involved, right? So, I mean, how does that work? Is anybody going to be bringing up Google on this because it comes up in a fucking search result?
It's Craigslist. They're trying to shut down Craigslist again.
It's actually Backpage.
Oh, but Backpage is where you get the good hookers.
So, as such, the bill states that the website operators who promote or facilitate prostitution of another person will no longer have the legal protections of Section 230. Violators could face fines or prison sentences of up to 25 years. The bill was largely spurred by Backpage.com, even though the site already shut down its adult advertisement section because of government pressure. The bills undermine Section 230. The most important law protecting free speech online, Electronic Frontier Foundation activist Elliot Harmon wrote today in a post titled How Congress Censored the Internet. The bill opens platforms to new criminal and civil liability at the same time state and federal levels for their users' sex trafficking activities, Harmon wrote. The bill is worded broadly enough that it could be used against platform owners that don't even know their sites are being used for trafficking. The quote from what Harmon wrote is, "It's easy to see the impact of this ramp-up in liability will have on online speech. Facing the risk of ruinous litigation, online platforms will have little choice but to become much more restrictive in what sort of discussion and what sort of users they allow, censoring innocent people in the process. What forms that erasure takes will vary from platform to platform. For some, it will mean increasingly restrictive terms of service, banning sexual content, for example, or advertisements for illegal escort services. For others, it will mean over-reliance on automated filters to delete borderline posts. No matter what methods platforms use to mitigate their risk, one thing is certain. When platforms choose to err on the side of censorship, marginalized voices are censored disproportionately. The internet will become a less inclusive place, something that hurts all of us." Yeah, I think he's playing to the current political climate and not really making a logical argument there. I think... what you'll see because of this is a lot of websites getting a lot more restrictive in just posting at all.
So I have a couple of things on this because of course I do. First, like, yeah, Backpage stopped doing their escort thing, but if you go to the massages, they all moved from the escorts to the massage section.
Well, what you're doing is you're saying, okay, we can't catch the people who are actually doing the sex trafficking because that's hard and work and, you know, kind of a pain in the butt. So instead, we're going to go after the platforms because we know who those are. We can sue a YouTube. We can sue a Google. We can't figure out who the hell, you know, sexy user 87 on Backpage.com is, but we can sue Backpage. So instead of actually trying to, you know, prosecute the criminals, they're just finding somebody to punish because they're kind of tangentially involved. You don't often prosecute people who own apartment complexes because somebody did something bad in the apartment. You have to do a lot of proof to prove that, or it takes a lot of evidence to prove that they knew about it and that they willfully allowed it. So
yes,
they're saying advertising this too. So how are we defining that? Is it? I mean, I don't know. This sounds like you know the old days of going after the mafia, where they, or you know, the Red Scare, where everything was coded language and it didn't really matter whether you were guilty or not. You were guilty until proven innocent. So yeah, it's largely an overreaction, but.
The other problem with this, and places like Backpage and stuff like that. So, and this is probably gonna get some backlash. But so, a lot of the sex workers who, because they're gonna fucking do it anyways. There's no real stopping that. Yeah. A lot of the websites, Backpage is one of them. Craigslist is another, and there's some others that are going to be targeted, where the sex workers are going, hey, so this dude here, and they're like, a picture and whatever. They're like, yeah, he's a dick and is going to try and steal from you or whatever. Like, don't do business with this person. You know, so they're because they have their own little safety net, and you don't want to cross them because they're fucking mean. So going after these types of sites is really kind of taking some of this, what little safety net, you know, these people have, and just kind of tossing it out the window.
Well,
yes,
they could
or should be doing something else.
Let me read the second half of the article here. So,
okay.
Some sex workers and advocates for sex workers. There's a job title. How do you get that on a business card? Advocate for sex workers.
I want to do that.
And advocates for sex workers oppose the legislation, saying that websites can help sex workers screen clients and avoid dangerous situations. It's literally the next sentence in the article is what you were talking about there. The problem is that these bills target websites.
I need to start opening these articles and reading them.
The problem is that these bills target websites that are widely and inaccurately believed to be hubs of trafficking activity, when it is precisely those websites that enable people in the sex trades to do their work safely and independently. At the same time, make it easier for authorities to find and investigate possible trafficking cases. Elena Macy wrote in for Allure. Macy sometimes uses her platform as a writer to discuss my sex work history and advocate for people who are currently in the sex trade, she noted. So apparently this author has done this in the past. Senator John Thune defended the bill, saying today's vote pushes back against the growth of illegal sex trafficking on the internet because it wasn't happening anywhere else, apparently. Senator Bill Nelson said, we simply cannot sit idly by any longer while websites aid and abet child sex traffickers. Wyden urged senators to vote against the bill, but his calls went unheeded in the absence of Section 230. The internet as we know it would shrivel. He said that the Senate floor before the vote, according to The Hill, the only platforms run by those with deep pockets and an even deeper bench of lawyers would be able to make it. Which, taken to an extreme, probably. I don't ever see, and here's the thing, I don't ever see them taking a Google or a Twitter or a Facebook, because you know a lot of that shit happens on things like those sites. I don't see them ever taking them to court.
The people writing these bills do realize that the internet is bigger than Facebook, Google, and those five companies, right?
No, they don't.
Just, you know, and America is not the end of the world when it comes to free internet, and Russians aren't the only ones who hack people. You know, there is shit outside of this scope. You know, there is an internet in Saudi Arabia. There is an internet in Azerbaijan. Yeah, and prostitution happens there too.
Yes, it does.
And in Djibouti as well.
So, you know, how come the American government get to regulate what's said?
Well, technically they only get to regulate sites that are hosted in the United States. So if you're hosting your website out of Zimbabwe...
this is what I'm saying. Like, why wouldn't the prostitutes just go, you know what, I'm still going to work in Vegas every weekend. I'm just advertising in Azerbaijan.
Yeah, probably because you need everybody to know to use that website.
This is what I mean. You shut it down. You just move the market.
I would be very, very surprised if someone like Backpage didn't move all of their hosting out of the country.
Well, I think you'll start seeing that, truth be told.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I mean. I'd rather have a market in the daylight than a market in the darkness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least if, you know, hey, you know what? There's been a lot of prostitutes in this area have been murdered lately. You know, and no one, none of the other prostitutes know in that area because none of them get together and have a chat. These aren't street walking anymore, man. These people pay $3,000-$4,000 for high shot glamour model photos for their websites. And I'm with you there, Syntax, man. It should be out in the open so these women can communicate with each other going, hey, if you get a phone call from this dude here, call himself Bob, he likes to choke people out, you know. Don't fucking go with him. Or, hey, let's make it legal.
It's sort of like Madman's picture, you know, behind all the registers. Don't sell this man booze. Okay.
You got that problem too, Madman?
Yeah, but after you beat so many people, they stop paying attention to that picture. My good old friend, the tire iron. You like having tea, don't you, boy? I like having whiskey.
Jesus.
Let's help each other out in a mutual exchange commerce here.
That was possibly one of the most frightening things I think I've ever heard.
So, I don't
and
know.
And I know what he looks like.
Jesus.
You know, you'd be surprised how sneaky a guy that big can be.
Oh, yeah. Or you didn't notice that ass, you know, shaking in front of him until I was right up on him.
Oh, man.
I had a friend of mine who was probably 300 pounds and 6'2", that we called the stealth hippo for just fucking reason.
The stealth hippo. I like that.
So. Motherfucker could sneak up on anybody.
So, speaking of moving your content to less restrictive platforms, this is from thenextweb.com. YouTube today updated its policies on videos containing firearm and firearm modifications, banning demo videos, how-tos, and anything containing links to sites that sell guns. Needless to say, the gun enthusiast community on the site is not happy about it, and some are starting to find unconventional new hosts for their content. So, according to YouTube's new updated policies, it would no longer allow content that intends to sell firearms or certain firearms activities through direct sales, i.e. private sales by individuals, or links to sites that sell these items, provides instructions on manufacturing a firearm, ammunition, high-capacity magazine, homemade silencer suppressors, or certain firearm accessories such as those listed above. This also includes instructions on how to convert a firearm to automatic or simulated automatic firing capabilities, or shows users how to install the above-mentioned accessories or modifications. Again, at some point, YouTube starts becoming editorial, which means they are subject to all the libel laws, you lose your DMCA protection if you start doing editorial, right?
Gotta be getting close at this point.
So, the community is starting to feel the pressure, as several channels are seeing their videos disappear, according to Motherboard. One popular channel, Spike's Tactical, was taken down entirely for content that, according to a notice posted on the channel's Facebook page, promotes violent or dangerous acts. The channel has since been reinstated, and YouTube told Bloomberg the takedown was a mistake. Yeah, anyone that's got enough people bitching about it, they're going to claim it was a mistake. And at least one of the vloggers in question has turned to a different platform, Pornhub. We were joking about this last week, and here it is. InRange TV, a channel with over 10,000 subscribers, said in a statement on Facebook that it was merely looking for a safe harbor for our content and for our viewers. And it also said YouTube's recent update on their policy towards firearm content is extremely poorly worded and open-ended. YouTube first began taking down videos with gun modifications last October following the massacre in Las Vegas. At the time, the big target seemed to be bump stocks modifications already used, or a modification allegedly used by shooter Stephen Paddock in the tragic event. We'll have to wait and see if other gun enthusiasts follow in range over to Pornhub and other video sites. Though if I were Vimeo, I'd be feeling very unappreciated right now.
Well, here's one. I think in their policy, too, it's anything from a first-person shooter point of view that's involving guns. So
oh, jeez.
Yeah, our sniper channel there, Madman. Sard may be going away.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with Payday 2 or something?
Yeah, it's Airsoft stuff. They're taken down also. And they're not the only ones that are starting to do this. Reddit started doing it at the same time.
It's okay, the pushback has started. There's a community of, you know, highly resourced trolls out there with serious autism have begun to flag rap videos with guns in them.
What happens when the next John Wick trailer comes out?
Yeah, exactly. Of course, that shit's going to be fine because Hollywood pays for it.
But the mass flagging of rap videos has just begun.
That's racist.
I mean, it's just the natural order of things, I guess. I mean, it's a private company. They can do whatever they want. Another platform will pop up and replace it.
Yeah, apparently it's going to be Pornhub.
People want it. Well,
Pornhub, man.
That's fine. I just don't understand what they think they're going to be gaining by doing this. All they're doing is pushing people off of their platform.
It's political grandstanding. There was a shooting. Look, we're doing something. Yeah. Sort of like Dick's Sporting Goods saying how they won't carry assault rifles or handguns anymore. I don't think
they haven't carried an AR in 10 years.
Thank you, Mad Ben.
Already. It's policy.
They're just re-announcing it, yeah.
Yeah. That's
Pornhub's just a name change away from being legit. You know?
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
I think
they're
migrating
there
because they already have the infrastructure.
Yeah.
As long as they don't go to Live Leak, I don't care. They are Live Leak.
Well, and so Pornhub probably has, I would say, close to the amount of content that YouTube does.
Yeah, just adult.
Well, I've not seen a dick measuring contest between Pornhub and YouTube, but
I would love to. It would be hilarious.
Maybe this will start one.
I would say quite a few of the large porn sites out there would have almost not as much content as YouTube.
Maybe as much quality content.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know. It depends if you're a porn connoisseur. I'm not a porn connoisseur.
I mean, it's
Syntax,
they all make
you're a resident porn connoisseur.
Yeah, well, okay. So, looking at YouTube, and I would say that 5% of what's on YouTube is quality. The other 95% is some fucking kid who is playing around with their parent's cell phone trying to really shakily take a picture of a cat.
As long as it's not the Elsa and Spider-Man shit, because you know somebody sends you a link to that and you watch about 5 minutes of it and go, this is weird. So,
yeah.
It's like, this isn't even funny. It's just fucking weird.
Yeah. We all love cats. Okay. We're all children of the internet. So Pornhub has the other thing that keeps the internet alive, which is porn. And honestly, like, quality porn is a whole lot easier to come by than quality YouTube content. Like, having all, you know, having gun nuts and people like that take stuff to Pornhub is actually going to bring their percentage of quality videos down.
All right, Sard, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I was just still trying to make the parallelism. I mean, who cares if that stuff goes there? What Pornhub is going to want them to move there because they make their money the same way YouTube does. So it's just all through advertisement. Why wouldn't they want more people there? You know, who cares? Sure. As long as they aren't going to cave to, you know, anti-gun people or whatever, then what do they care? It's just going to bring them more revenue.
It's the naming conventions we're going to have to watch, you know, what things are called. Because you could be all primed up, you know, for something. And suddenly there's this fucking 400-pound fat redneck shooting off a fucking shotgun. And you were hoping for a blonde girl taking something in the face. Yeah, naming conventions are going to be a thing, Pornhub. Let's just work on that.
I thought this was thick barrels downrange. What the hell is this?
Oh, the phrase taking the load is going to be.
Yeah, see, that's the other thing, because there is a correlation between a lot of the gun enthusiasts and hardcore evangelical Christianity. And that's going to be hilarious. Because they're going to search for something. They're going to see things that are going to absolutely expand their mind.
Oh, fuck. Flyover states see pregnancy increase 300%.
Well, apparently I've not spent enough time on Pornhub, but if it has a channels page like YouTube does, I'm sure a lot of these guys are just going to link straight to the channels or straight to the videos, like off of, well, I don't know about a Facebook post, but like, you know, set up a WordPress blog or something and just embed the videos. Because at that point, yeah, who the fuck cares who's hosting it, right?
Exactly. It's just a name change away for legitimacy.
I don't know if you can embed video from Pornhub on somewhere else. Maybe? I don't know.
I just assumed.
I'm thinking when you try to embed Pornhub on YouTube, or not on YouTube, on Facebook, they're like, you can't host porn here. The name kind of kills it.
Yeah. Well, what you're going to find is you're going to find, like, phvideo.com or something like that. And, you know, everyone's going to know that PH stands for Pornhub.
Well, it's going to be like, you know, think about how long MTG Gox was, or Mt. Gox is a Bitcoin exchange. Everybody knew what the hell MTG stood for, but nobody cared.
Magic the Gathering.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was a card trader originally.
Yep.
So, but,
well, I mean, Ars Technica wasn't a real news site for a long time.
That's true. So,
what were they before? I didn't know about that one.
They were dubious.
It was it was kind of a spoof site. They were very sensationalist.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not wording real well.
They were a news site, but they were kind of like the internet tabloids. I guess in a way they still kind of are.
Okay.
Yeah, it was, they were closer to that other site that does things like that.
The Onion.
Ugh.
Were you going for InfoWars or The Onion?
The Onion.
Neither. It was another tech site. Or Dig? Not tech, but it was another. I'll remember it in like 10 minutes and just scream it out because that's where I'm at.
All right, cool. Let's go to the next one then. This is from recode.net and it's just a funny. Cycross is asking if it was Slashdot.
No. Slashdot actually had decent things.
Oh, you're probably thinking of Gawker.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
They gained some legitimacy, too, which was weird.
Yeah, then Hulk Hogan shut them down.
Yeah.
Which I just love. Fuck. So, anyways.
All the Hulkamaniacs.
This is from Hulkamaniacs. Go shut them down. The new troll army is now all the Hulkamaniacs.
Jesus.
Oh. Now I want to see a bunch of internet trolls trying in vain to rip off a shirt and not being able to.
I can do it.
All right.
This is
from Recode. Traditional TV viewership is in decline as people cut the cord and opt for cheaper streaming services like Netflix and Hulu instead. But what about the 90 million U.S. subscribers who still pay around $100 a month for traditional pay TV? Americans are holding on to their pay TV subscriptions because it's bundled with their internet subscription, according to a new survey by Deloitte. Some 56% consider the bundle a top reason or top three reason to keep their TV subscription, partly because it makes the overall price seem like a better deal. Cable and satellite companies often include TV, internet, and telephone for a single reduced price. For many, the cost they'd have to pay for internet alone just isn't much less than they would pay for all three services individually, so the perceived value can seem tempting. In turn, the cable companies are able to eke out higher overall monthly fees by throwing in those extras. And surprisingly, the most common reason for keeping pay TV is the ability to watch live broadcasts, with 71% of TV goers saying so. So yeah, it's in the subscription and in their poll here, 71% is to watch live broadcasts, 56% top reasons. I guess you could select more than one reason because otherwise this math would not work because it's bundled with home internet. 53% like the DVR capability to record and watch shows later. 36% because they've had it for so long and they don't want to change. 34% because they are happy with the value they receive for the cost. 28% because they do not stream content often or at all. And 21% for access to the library of content available through streaming through pay TV subscription. So,
nobody watches sport on it anymore.
Yeah, I think that's what they mean by live broadcast. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, no. So, like, any sport that's worth a damn, at least the three that I watch, which would be MotoGP, World Superbike, and F1, all have a streaming service.
Okay.
And not only that, like, you get telemetry and stuff, so you get extras for streaming. On top, like, I can watch it on, you know, ESPN or whatever fucking cable channel will show it. And I get the race, which is cool, whatever. Or I can stream it, and I can stream it live, or I can stream it whenever I want. But then I can also switch cameras, and I can listen to different teams' radio communications, or I can actually see live telemetry on the car. There's so many other awesome things that you can do with the streaming service over watching it live on stupid cable. Hell, I haven't had cable in 15 years.
I had to call the cable company to get my internet upgraded. Now, this actually worked out pretty good, but the long story was that if I tried to do it through any of their automated systems, I was going to get TV turned on whether I wanted it or not. I called them, and I was able to get it straightened out, and actually that worked out pretty well, believe it or not. So I'm wondering what competitor has opened up in my area that I don't know about, that the cable company was reasonable with me. So it's like, what the fuck? They were treating me like a person. They must have a competitor in the area I don't know about.
Well, I would imagine that they're probably losing customers hand over fist. And they're like, if we don't change something, we're going to have no customers.
So, anyways, I just thought it was kind of amusing that it's like the top reason is because it's forced on them with the bundle, or one of the top reasons. It's like, yeah, that
makes sense to me.
Sports, and because they force it, yeah.
Yep.
So, if I remember correctly, the reason they force it is because they have all kinds of contracts about how much they get paid from, like, carriers, like ESPN and some of the specialty channels, pay subscription services to the cable companies based on how many subscribers they have.
That stopped
like that
a long time ago.
Oh, did it?
Cable companies pay ESPN to be on cable, but the reason they try to keep the numbers up is the number of subscribers determines how much they can charge per ad hour. If they take a nosedive, that Wendy's ad goes from we paid you $10,000 to show it during whatever to we paid you $1,000 or whatever.
I gotcha. That makes sense too.
Yeah, and there's also some weird contractual stuff with sports and, like, the sports streaming. So
yeah, see, that's what I was thinking was the contract stuff as part of it.
Yeah, my partner is a big fan of hockey because she likes fist fighting. And she was, like, she bought the streaming bundle because she's like, I fucking hate cable. But then was really angry because half of the games would be blocked out because of where we lived. So I showed her the magic of VPN. And then, yeah, she's like, oh my God, I can actually watch the games I want. I just have to pick the correct, you know, city to VPN to.
Yep, awesome. A little bit of forethought, a little bit of research, and you can usually get around a lot of this bullshit, but it's still frustrating that you have to do it in the first place.
And a good VPN provider.
So, anyways, let's move on to this next one here. They were calling for it in the chat room, so I reordered the show notes just a touch, but since nobody else looks at them, I don't guess that really matters to anybody but me.
There's fucking show notes?
Whether I quit posting them a long time ago because nobody else was reading them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think I would read them. Hell, I don't even read the articles.
No, I take that back. Sard actually read the fucking notes before we did a show. And when I quit posting them, he bitched me out about it. He did. He's like, dude, I used those. I got ready for the shows. What do you mean nobody's fucking reading these things? And he said God he was going to kick my ass at the next meetup because of it. So,
wait, there's fucking meetups?
Yeah, there have been at least two.
There's been two.
Shut up. Don't tell him. Oh. Don't tell him. He's going to want to go.
Yeah,
wait
they're
a minute,
in
no.
I
don't know what you're talking about.
They're in Zimbabwe. We all meet up in Zimbabwe because apparently that's easier for our
you
to
bring your
to.
Own AK.
It was a bring your own AK, and we ended up at a Waffle House. There's like four of us showed up.
It was amazing.
Kind of sad.
Well, you know, I offered to sneak RU across the Mexican border once.
I could see passing him off as a Mexican. Nope.
I'm like, I had a plan and everything.
I could see passing him off as a Mexican.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as he kept his mouth shut, you never know.
Now, if
like, so he says anything, then you're fucked.
To most of the border guards, an accent is an accent. They can't really. They're like, oh, he don't sound like me.
Why you sound he like must... John Oliver?
Yup.
Okay.
I'm surprised. RU hasn't fucking lost his shit. Are you?
Because he's
you?
AFK.
He's got to be AFK or something.
Oh, no, he's out drinking at Foster's. He's fine.
Oh,
God. Yeah, if that would have brought. If he was here, he would have said something.
He's been across the table Kiwis. Because of that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, more beer. Yay, more beer.
All right, so next article from The Guardian. German researchers have discovered unknown persons are using Bitcoin's blockchain to store and link child abuse imagery, potentially putting the cryptocurrency in jeopardy. The blockchain is open source, distributed ledger that records every Bitcoin transaction, but can also store small bits of non-financial data. Excuse me. This data is typically notes about the trade of Bitcoin regarding recording what it was for or other metadata, but can also be used to store links and files. Researchers from the RWTH Aachen University, Germany, found that around 1,600 files were stored in Bitcoin's blockchain. Of the files, at least 8 were of sexual content, including 1 thought to be image of child abuse and 2 that contain 274 links to child abuse content, 142 of which are links to dark web services. Where's my dramatic sound?
Wait, what blockchain is this?
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
In the actual Bitcoin blockchain? Really?
Yeah, you can put comments and shit in there. Oh, are you?
Wow.
You missed our fantastic plan to smuggle you across the border in a carton of Foster's.
God damn it. You finally got off the kangaroo.
Oh,
huh?
There we go. Yeah, we had a really great conversation that you should have been a part of, and you weren't, and we were all sad.
I'll re-listen to the show, don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. Are you just going to be chartering some flights?
I mean, if it's any better than floating me down the Rio Grande and into a fucking drainage pipe somewhere in, what was it, in Houston or something like that. It was ridiculous. We did it years ago.
El Paso.
Yeah, something like that.
And anyway. That was a fucking legitimate plan as well.
Anyway, rocket snail, back to the child porn.
In Bitcoin. Not only can you pay for it with Bitcoin, you can get it in Bitcoin.
All right, Bruce. So here we go. Researchers from the RWTH Aachen University, Germany, found that around 1,600 files were currently stored in Bitcoin's blockchain. Of the files, at least 8 were of sexual content, including 1 thought to be image of a child abuse, and 2 that contained 274 links to child abuse content, 142 of which linked to the dark web services.
Dun, dun.
Our analysis shows that certain content, i.e. illegal pornography, can render the mere possession of a blockchain illegal, the researchers wrote. Although court rulings don't yet exist, legislative texts from countries such as Germany, the UK, or the USA suggest that illegal content, such as child abuse imagery, can make the blockchain illegal to possess for all users. This especially endangers the multi-billion dollar markets powering cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin. While the spinning of Bitcoin does not necessarily require a copy of the blockchain to facilitate some processes, such as mining techniques, require downloading the full blockchain or at least chunks of it. Since all blockchain data is downloaded and persistently stored by users, they are liable for any objectionable content added to the blockchain by others. Consequently, it would be illegal to participate in a blockchain-based system, as soon as it contains illegal content, the researchers wrote. That's a really strict interpretation of the laws, which they are written that way, but I don't believe they're used that way in practice.
Well, I mean, now that this going back to the first story, you know, now that they can prosecute, you know, a website for its content, even if it's put up by someone else.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, everybody hosting the blockchain is now responsible for the content.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's fucking back to back. Who put this fucking show together?
What? since mining is an essential function for Bitcoin, the process records the transactions in the blockchain to verify trades and generates new Bitcoin in the process. Having illegal content such as child abuse imagery within the blockchain could cause significant issues for the currency. We anticipate a high potential for illegal blockchain content to jeopardize blockchain-based systems such as Bitcoin in the near future. So they're even saying, yeah, dirty tricks teams could totally go in and put illegal shit in there just so that you couldn't hold it anymore. This is not the first time warnings over the ability to store non-financial data within the blockchain have been issued. Interpol sent out an alert in 2015 saying the design of the blockchain means there's a possibility of malware being injected and permanently hosted with no methods currently available to wipe the data. The agency warned that the technology could be used in the sharing of child abuse images, where the blockchain could become a safe haven for hosting such data. But this is the first time such content has been shown to actually exist, creating a moral and legal quandary in the possession for blockchain. Psychros is saying in the chat room he knows people who are dumping out of Bitcoin over it. And I don't really blame them, because that's a hell of a legal liability, and a lot of places are looking for reasons to shut Bitcoin down.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So is it links in the comments, or is it actual binary files?
It's both.
Both, yeah.
How do you put... I didn't know you could do that. How do you put a binary file in the blockchain, and what comments get put up there?
Comments could be, I use this Bitcoin to buy a cheeseburger, kind of like the memos on a check.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I don't know exactly how I'm putting binary in the blockchain, because I haven't tried it. I imagine it could be as simple as opening up a hex editor and just copying and pasting the text in.
Okay, as a comment. Okay, I guess that makes sense.
I mean, Ethereum...
I didn't know you could do that.
Well, Ethereum's got a whole system based around putting other shit in the blockchain. I think contracts and stuff like that. So it's not surprising that the technology supports it. I just... didn't really remember much about it being in Bitcoin itself. So, but I wouldn't be surprised if this was totally dirty tricks somebody put in there trying to shut Bitcoin down or give people a reason to, you know, run away from it.
Get off of it, yeah.
Well, I mean, hell, I'm glad I dumped all my Bitcoin, given what the value's done the last couple of months.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Anyways, I don't know, Madman, you've been kind of
quiet.
What
a dirty trick to go after somebody with, though.
Well, I mean, and honestly, like, okay, so putting my tinfoil conspiracy hat on.
Go for it.
I honestly wouldn't put it past some of the larger financial institutions of doing something like this, because they're all really kind of afraid of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and the traction that it was gaining. So they, you know, something needed to be done to discredit cryptocurrency.
Well, they've done that in spades at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And so Psychro says that he doubts a court would uphold this. I don't know, with especially with the new legislation that came out. It was today, right? Or was it yesterday?
I think it was technically yesterday.
Yeah. So laws like that just open up this huge new thing, and there's always people looking to make it, you know. One, there's lawyers and judges who want to make a name for themselves so that they can run for political office later. But there's also, you know, people who are like, I'm going to fuck this person's life up, rah, and they're going to do stupid shit.
I don't know how often the legal system's going to weigh in on it, like how often it will actually go to trial, but it's going to make nuisance suits.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, horrible. So even if you win, how many times can you defend yourself in court is a question.
Yeah, well, and I mean, honestly, you only have to get charged with child porn once.
Well, I'm also wondering...
You really have to be accused.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of wondering, too, it's like, yeah, this is really going to put some things to the test with the child porn laws of the, I didn't know that was in there. Fuck. It's all encrypted. You know? It's not viewable. So... It's going to be one of these things where it's
though.
Like it's going to test the whole concept of you know, knowingly storing something versus not knowingly storing something, and that would be interesting to see argued. But I'd hate to see the damage this is going to do in the meantime to see that argument before somebody is going to come out there and say, "Look, nobody knew this shit was in there," and they'll have to fork the blockchain eventually to get it out of there.
Yeah,
but until they do that. Which, you know, Bitcoin forks are always interesting. So.
Yeah. Well, and isn't Bitcoin now publicly traded on the commodities market?
NASDAQ. It's a commodity.
It's Bitcoin futures are, yes.
Futures, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, that's a thing. So, does that mean that the NASDAQ is now a purveyor of child porn?
No, but whatever company is managing it is, or companies managing the Bitcoin futures.
No. Mm-hmm. No. You don't actually have to possess a wallet or deal with Bitcoin in order to be traded as a future. When you're trading futures, you're technically trading things that don't exist. So you can sell something that you don't own and then buy it at a cheaper price later to supply it to whoever bought it from you. They never take possession of Bitcoin. Bitcoin being a child pornographer will not affect NASDAQ at all.
But except that the price goes to zero.
Well, there's that.
That doesn't affect NASDAQ. That just means it'll stop trading.
Yeah.
It'll be the same way bacon affected NASDAQ. Bacon futures
bacon
went away
futures.
Because we eat bacon year-round now.
Yeah.
Before it was profitable enough to stick sides of bacon in a freezer for 5 months to sell it at 10 cents more a pound.
So to
now
clarify,
it's not so bacon futures went away.
So Cycros is pointing out that a fork would maintain the previous history. I was thinking it'd be more like you do a fork, but go in and filter out the offending blocks and be like, okay, here's the new blockchain now. I guess a fork's not exactly the right word for it, but it would be like, okay, we've all agreed we're migrating to this and it's got the offending shit pulled. So.
But the fact is, we're talking about it. Other people are talking about it. And I feel sorry for the dudes like, yeah, man, I'm into Bitcoin. Why are you like child porn? Yeah. That's what they start associating it with.
That
becomes mainstream, dude. I bet you that'll fucking ruin it. And
it's
all cryptocurrency.
It's a Richard Gere thing, man. You know, he didn't stick a gerbil up his ass, but fuck, 25 years people were saying he did.
Right.
Yeah.
That'll become perception as reality.
I saw this link the other day. I thought this was appropriate.
I think that's immediately now my response to when someone's like, hey, have you heard of Bitcoin? I'm like, you like child porn?
So, anyways, yeah, I just threw that link to a webcomic I saw the other day. Somebody linked for that. So, there's
someone
the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. I don't quite recognize what style of they're in. I think that's the PlayStation thing. And it's like, yep.
No, it's Binding of Isaac.
Okay, Binding of Isaac. And it's like, yep, this is good for Bitcoin. Anyways.
So if no one has ever played Binding of Isaac, it's one of the most fucked up video games you'll ever play.
So you're saying it's a delightful good game?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, it's really, really good. Like my partner might have 600 hours in that game.
Casual.
So.
Yeah. After only having it for 3 months.
Sard, thoughts before we move on?
They all just called you casual.
All right. Next up is
Rocket Snail.
Rocket Snail. Cool. Next up is from DSL Reports. Sard's in there going, fuck, I got to get rid of all these copies of the damn blockchain.
Execute code 66.
Son of a bitch. All right. Next up is from DSL Reports. Netflix is killing an experimental feature that would have made binge watching a game targeted at children.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
That's a headline.
All of us. What?
Link story, please.
It's in the chat room. What are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry. Cyclos was speaking. There. Never mind. I found
it. It's in TeamSpeak as well. I throw it in both. So Netflix is killing an experimental feature that would have made binge-watching a game targeted at children. No. Twitter users have recently noticed the company was testing a system that rewarded kids for binge-watching, doling out reward patches to kids that managed to watch an entire series or specific programs like Troll Hunters, Fuller House, and a series of unfortunate events. So this article reads like a fucking ad. So, anyways,
what the actual fuck?
The company confirmed the plan in a statement to Variety. We are testing a new feature on select kids' titles that introduces collectible items for a more interactive experience, adding an element of fun and providing kids something to talk about and share around the titles that they love, said the company. We learned by testing, and this feature may or may not become part of the Netflix experience. God,
we'll
the marketing.
We'll give you a pog if you watch 27 hours of Barney.
But after parents complained that getting kids away from the TV was already a challenge, Netflix appears to have backed off the proposal. We've concluded the test for patches and decided not to move forward with the feature for kids.
So,
I think the babysitter must evolve.
Yeah. I think it's funny how Madman dated himself by saying he's going to give kids pogs. No one gives anyone pogs anymore, man.
I do. I've got shit tons of pogs all over the place. I give them away just to piss people off.
Dude, I want some.
Hey, I have great them. Slimers and wonderful pogs.
Yes.
Oh, so I used to have some badass slammers that were actually, like cut off pieces of steel.
Yep.
They weren't like official slammers. They were just like somebody machined them, you know?
Oh.
Yeah, see, I grew up in an area where there was a lot of, like, industrial stuff, and yeah, I may have had a couple made that were pounds, just a pound of wrought iron. So this thing just recently, so I know I'm not, I'm so casual compared to y'all using Steam, but I had started playing a new game, and then it was like, you got an item on Steam. And I'm like, what the fuck? Did someone, like, give me something? And I look, and there's collectible trading cards for the games you play now on Steam.
That's weird.
You what can the... sell them and buy games.
Apparently Suave made, like, a shit ton of money on those at some point.
Fucking...
Well, he made enough to copies of games out.
Yeah.
I get a shit ton of cards there, and once a year, BSV just goes through and I said, what do you want, dude? Like, because he actually uses them to get discounts on games. So if you get, like, a complete set, it'll give you 30% off a game and things like that.
Oh.
Or you'll get them and they'll give you, like, little bits of loot and shit for the game. I don't know. I don't follow. BSV
might get an in-game skin or something like that.
Yeah, BSV knows all about it, but I just let him go through because I don't use them. Eventually... When I'm too poor to be poor, I'll sell them all, you know.
But, yeah, so Netflix
well,
was...
I will talk to BSV about this later.
Totally going to do the whole online rewards system, which, you know, studies have proven time and again totally fucking work. Just for watching, like, entire series. It's like there's...
Then you can start buying loot boxes. If you give me $1.75, we'll give you 8 loot boxes. You could get more pogs! More of them!
I now want to refer to all loot box systems as pogs. I don't know why. It just seems appropriate.
Done. That's really going to sound weird, though. And I'm like, all right, I need to get a new set of pogs in said game.
You know, for when you're really trying to unlock Vader in Battlefield or in Star Wars Battlefront or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I bought the 50 pack of pogs. You're going to have people giving you really weird fucking looks.
Nice.
So, anyways, next article is from thenextweb.com. If your company uses Slack for group communication, you might want to watch out for what you say in direct message with your colleagues. The app now lets administrators export all the data shared through it, including those private conversations, without notifying you. Thanks to an updated privacy policy that helps Slack comply with GDPR rules, they grant customers on Slack Plus and Enterprise Grid plans access to a self-service tool for exporting data from all public and private channels. This functionality was previously available, but it used to notify users when it was turned on so they'd know their DMs weren't entirely private. You can check if your team is on any of those plans by visiting, they've got a link. Apparently there's a way to build a URL to see if what plan your team is on. But don't assume that you're safe, because if your organization uses a free or standard plan, administrators can request access to the data export tool by providing Slack with either a valid legal process, consent of team members, or a requirement or right under applicable laws. Alternatively, they can use whitelisted apps that do the same thing. So basically Slack DMs are not private. They can be exported out.
Absolutely not.
If you're doing DMs at work, assume your boss is watching them, because he should.
I know, but yeah, I enjoy pointing it out, because a lot of people assume these things are private. Well, it's a direct message. That's private, right? Well, sure, but you're on a company platform?
Yeah, exactly. You have no privacy.
So there's an add-on for Slack, and it's for a bunch of other things as well, called Tsukasa. Never mind. I don't know if I want to... I should talk about them, because they got acquired by Barracuda since I used them last.
God. Oh, Barracuda's kind of okay, sort of. Just don't use them in a fucking enterprise. That's always fun.
Like, yeah, well, Tsukasa adds like HIPAA compliance to like Slack and a bunch of other things. It does a lot of really cool encryption. So I'm wondering if you're using Tsukasa with Slack, are your DMs now encrypted? So when they try and pull the DMs, are they now just gibberish?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Which means they're immediately going to assume you were saying something bad and, you know, bring you in and sit you down with HR in the room. By the way, everybody, just in case anybody's not aware, HR is not your friend. Their job is to protect the company from legal liability, not you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. HR is never your friend. HR is worse than management usually.
So, just fun pointing that out. Next article is from Bloomberg, and be careful anybody clicking the link. It's got an autoplay video on it. And I did see an article, Chrome apparently is going to start blocking those, but it's really fucking annoying.
Turning the volume up. Turning the volume way up.
Yeah, have fun with that. Facebook Inc.'s privacy crisis has turned into a shareholder crisis. The social media giant has lost over $60 billion in market value over the past 2 days. And this article is from the 20th. Following revelations that personal data of millions of users was obtained by a data analytics firm. That's more than the market capitalization of Tesla Inc. at around $52 billion, or three times the owners of Snapchat's Snap Inc. at about $19 billion. Facebook shares tumbled 6.8% on Monday, the most in almost 4 years. And I'm hearing buying opportunity. And so don't take stock advice from me. I'm not good at it.
I'll let you know, so this is a sale. It's a 6% sale on Facebook. They'll recover.
At their height, they were worth $5.6 trillion?
$1.56 yeah. trillion.
Actually, their chief security officer just left, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it's, yeah, no, half a trillion. Wow.
So, Facebook shares tumbled 6.8% on Monday, and the most in almost 4 years, and the sell-off resumed on Tuesday with news that the U.S. Federal Trade Commission is reportedly investigating the handling of user data, and a report that Chief Security Officer Alex Stamos, okay, yeah, it was in this article, plans to leave. Shares fell 4.7% to $164.51 at 2:23 in New York. The two-day rout is the worst since July 2012, the year Facebook's initial public offering at $38 a share. So there's a whole bunch of other shit going down with Facebook. I didn't really feel like getting into it, but I just thought it was funny that, like, wow, they lost a lot of money for 6.8%.
Yeah.
That kind of pisses me off because just now people are like, oh, no, now they're sharing my information with unauthorized people. I better close my Facebook. Do you fucking people not remember Snowden and all the shit that he said that the government and everyone else is doing now?
You think deleting
now
your Facebook does shit? Doing
it, then they're going to fucking... Oh,
it's not that Facebook's doing it now. Everything that... oh, God.
No, I just mean now that it's hit the news that it's Facebook, now they're pissed off and leaving? Like, fucking wake up. It's been going on for years.
Well, no, I mean, again, it comes back to... And even if you close out your accounts, do you think Facebook gives a flying fuck? They're not actually deleting data. They're holding on to it.
Of course.
If you read the terms of service, because I'm a weirdo that kind of likes doing that thing, anything you put on Facebook is no longer yours. You don't own it once you upload it to Facebook.
Yeah,
it's theirs to do with as they please. And like... I was telling a friend of mine this, and they're like, no, those pictures are mine. They're of me. I took them. I'm like, you uploaded it to Facebook. You don't own them.
Yeah, they now have a non-expiring license to the work or however it's worded.
Yeah, and yeah. Even if you delete them, they're like, well, it's deleted. It's not on my profile. It's like, it's not linked to your profile anymore.
Yeah, it's not gone.
Yeah.
And they're still going to be associating everything that has a like button on the page with your browsing profile, even though you've deleted your profile. They'll just have a little line in their profile deleted.
Yep.
Which means they don't care. That just gets added as a metric point for their algorithms. So
yeah.
Everything Cambridge Analytica did this last election was done in the last two using Facebook.
So
yeah.
It's just this time a different side one.
I look at it like this. You know, if you're getting all huffy about Facebook sharing your data, how come you're not all pissed off? I mean, what happened to Equifax?
Yeah. No. All those fucking businesses, all this shit that's happened, like...
Yeah.
The now
biggest
people
breach...
Are, oh.
Yeah, the biggest breach of all time with Yahoo and 4 billion users.
And nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
You just stick Trump's name in the front of anything now, and you just have people losing their shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like...
Trump hacked Facebook. Done.
Hey, Trump's heavily involved in YouTube censoring.
Yeah.
That's Trump, how we stop that.
Trump is putting stuff on Pornhub.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. He closed his Twitter account and opened up a Pornhub account. No one's had the balls to click on it yet. It's like, well, it's Trump, so we don't actually know. I mean, it could be Stormy Daniels videos. It could be...
Oh, that would be just the tits when it gets off Twitter. Just, no, I'm posting everything in video format, Pornhub. I challenge you to play this on the nightly news. Well, there was a guy who was posting like 10-hour black videos and then tagging it with nudity. Just so somebody had to sit there and watch the entire fucking video to see whether it had to be flagged on Facebook or not.
according to Psychros, there are deep fakes of Ivanka, so, you know.
Links.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm not surprised, but it's just like, man. Of course,
research.
We're making the joke about it, but that's what we made the joke about the people moving to Pornhub off Facebook a couple weeks ago, or Facebook off YouTube a couple weeks ago. And, well, here we are. So.
They already have Let's Plays for video games. Now they have gun content and still porn.
Dude, there's animated Minecraft porn on Pornhub. A good quality, man.
That's what? A very, very specific set of search terms that I have never in my life wanted to punch in.
Okay. I'm doing it.
There's Minecraft porn on Pornhub.
All right. Well, while Syntax confirms the existence of Minecraft porn, I'm going to go on to the last article I have for tonight. It's from the BBC. The government in South Korea's capital is introducing a new initiative to force its employees to leave work on time by powering down all of their computers at 20 hours on Fridays.
Do you know how many StarCraft players are going to go shank a bitch?
Yeah.
Is that what they're doing? I was in the middle of the most epic Zerg rush in history. I was raping Canadians, and my computer shut off.
It says it's trying to stop a culture of working overtime. South Korea has some of the longest working hours in the world. Government employees there work an average of 2,739 hours a year, about 1,000 hours more than workers in other developed countries. The shutdown initiative in Seoul... The Seoul Metropolitan Government is set to roll out across three phases over the next 3 months. The program will begin on the 30th of March with all computers switched off by 2000 hours. The second phase starts in 8. That's still 8 o'clock. I mean, that's still pretty late to have your guys there working, you know?
They're playing fucking StarCraft.
Well, okay, you're probably right. But the second phase starts in April with employees having their computers turned off by 1930. On the second and fourth Friday that month, and then from May on, the program will be in full swing with computers shutting off by 1,900 hours every Friday. According to an SMG statement, all employees will be subjected to the shutdown, though exemptions may be provided in special circumstances. Sounds like they're just rolling out like a PowerShell script they're shoving out with group policy or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, that's built into AD. You can have log on hours. I don't think it'll kick you off. But
yeah,
you can't log on after a certain time.
Well, it gets even better. However, not every government worker seems to be on board. According to the SMG, 67.1% of government workers have asked to be exempt from forced lights out. Earlier this month, South Korea's National Assembly passed a law to cut down the maximum working week down to 52 hours from 68.
Wow.
So
wow.
That's a lot of dedication in your government employees right there. I tell you what.
Yeah. I have two things real quick. One, Psychros. Thank you. I'll be looking at that later. Two, there's 86 fucking pages of Minecraft porn videos on Pornhub.
God damn.
He confirmed that those were all actually Minecraft porn fairly quickly, too.
I've been clicking quite madly. Just clicking.
Well, you know, as long as you use judicious use of the microphone or of the push to talk on the microphone there, nobody has to know what you're doing. Anyways,
push to talk. No one needs that.
I will love you violently.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, let's move on to this. I just realized Psychros said that there's deep fakes of Merkel as well, but good God,
oh,
why?
Oh, dear Jesus, no.
Yeah, no.
Psychros.
Oh, Link, please.
What the hell are you doing?
The only person that's into it is Madman.
Like, oh, yeah, getting my politics and my porn at the same time.
Wow. I don't know what's going to be great is, in the middle of my night, when I'm having a discussion with Aryu, I'll be like, check this link out. He never looks to see what it is. He just clicks.
Oh, I can see it now. I'm fucking Merkel getting blacked.
Oh, I'm hoping it's a face full of Donald Trump's food right all over her face.
Oh, my good Lord.
Well,
bringing you 300 episodes of everything you didn't want to know.
Oh, my God. Anyways, so speaking of places you might find that, the first thing I have for Digital Dojo tonight is from the HyperionGray.com. It is a dark web map. A bunch of researchers went out there and they did some scripting to try to identify as many dark web sites as they could, and they put together a map where they took a screenshot of every page and then tried to group them. They've got all these warnings on it, like, we don't actually know what's in the screenshot, so there could be horrible here. But anyways, you can actually zoom in, and they've got quite a bit. The only thing that's kind of annoying is they felt it necessary to hide the complete tour addresses, I guess, for whatever reason.
What's the point, then?
Well, they said they didn't want to create an actual usable index of tour pages. They were just doing a research project. But it is kind of amusing how many copies of the same page all show up across several of these. Most of them are all, you know, like Bitcoin Blender's got tons of different addresses. I wonder how many of these are addresses all pointing to the same servers and how many of them are clones of the website that people are using to try to spread malware and shit. So,
but if they mapped it and then indexed it, wouldn't it no longer be the dark web?
You know, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's why they didn't bother to complete the addresses. But for most of these, I'm betting if you throw the address into Google with, like, .onion as a search term, you'll probably find the postbin link or whatever that's got it. Or pastebin link.
Welcome to gibberfish.social. How old are you? Your own data. Audience.
Oh, hey, here we go. Ranion. Better Encrypted FUD ransomware.
So, you all have fun exploring that. It's interesting. I don't know that it's all that useful, but it is interesting to see what all's out there on the tours. So, and then the other, Cycros are talking about doing deep fakes with random people's Facebook accounts if they have enough pictures up. Kind of creepy. Anyways, the last link Syntax sent to me, and it is from whitedome.com.au, and it is a quick guide. Apparently, they're working on a script for setting up Kali Linux inside the Linux subsystem for Windows, and they've got a guide and a script, which you might want to double-check the contents of before you run it, because they've got a basically raw wget straight into bash there, but you know, so you might pull down the script and see what it does before you actually run, but you know, how to set up an X server on Windows and, to start XFCE and how to get Kali actually running on top of the Linux subsystem for Windows. So it's interesting. It's a nice little write-up. Hell, I'm probably going to end up using this at work. And
the funnest part about this is having both your start menu with taskbar down at the bottom and your Linux kind of taskbar-y thing up on top. Like, you can go both places. It's so much fun.
You've obviously never played with desktop integration with VMware or VirtualBox.
No.
Full screen. Done. That's cool.
But yeah, it's a nice write-up, and it's a nice guide if you're trying to avoid virtual machines, or maybe you can't run virtual machines because you don't have good enough hardware in your work laptop or whatever. So, anyways, that's all the actual content I have for tonight. Madman, closing thoughts.
I found how to multiply my Bitcoin 100-fold in a day on this dark web thing.
That's neat. You should let us know if that works for you or not.
What's 100 times a zero?
Let me know how much bail money you need.
Oh, it works. All right, are you? Closing thoughts.
Just a spirit thought for Count Dankula. Got convicted this week. Gross offensiveness. Whatever the fuck that means. I don't know when his sentencing is. Sorry, I didn't look that up before I did this. But, yeah, just don't be grossly offensive, people.
Or find a better way to waste your time. How many hours does it take to train a pug to do anything?
I don't know, but I would easily say we've spent that much time talking about fucking Minecraft porn. You shouldn't have. It's fucking horse shit, man.
All right.
You never have been convicted.
All right, Sard, go ahead. Closing thoughts.
Can't talk now. Too busy executing code 66 on all my computers that blockchains on them.
Would you scroll out? This kind of looks like Starry Night.
I wouldn't bother, Assad. I've already notified the FBI.
God damn it.
Blackmail him first. You blackmail him first.
Oh, yeah. You're doing this wrong.
I think I got that out of order.
You have an AR, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a mailing address that's going to show up in a private message to you. Or the FBI will show up at your house.
Wow. Madman with no compunction about, you know, blackmailing his friends. All right, Syntax, closing thoughts.
One, holy fuck, there's a lot of Minecraft porn. And two, I found a mirror of the NASA website on this dark web thing.
Maybe NASA's hosting a dark web version of their website. I mean,
yeah,
why not?
Absolutely. They're like, you know what? Fuck all you guys. We're going to do science and shit.
So
I guess. I don't know. This is interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to scroll through. I wasted a good 2 hours when I first found it, scrolling around in it and trying to Google some of the URLs.
You work in South Korea? Is that where you're doing with your overtime?
Yep, that's what I'm doing.
Is that what you're doing on paid time?
Yep.
Come on, fess up.
Well, that and StarCraft.
You stop now. You stop now.
You stop now.
You stop now. Go have a drink. You no more work. You stop now.
No work. Happy ending. No work.
Wow.
300 shows of casual racism. People, now get the fuck off this lawn.
Casual racism? And casual, I don't think anything has been casual about this show or anything that we have done for this long.
Yeah, 300 of these things down, so I don't know, is that enough? I mean, internet, is it enough?
Yeah, it's enough. Next week we're going to start I Am Right with more
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Episode 1.
Yeah. Yes. 300 episodes of I Am Right Forbes.
You owe me a dollar.
I'm paying it back next meetup.
I don't want my fucking child porn Bitcoin, man. Fucking pay me in that shit.
You know you're getting paid in that. You already know.
Yeah, we're going to have to change the Bitcoin icon to just a crying toddler.
Is it a crying toddler? Yeah, is it a crying toddler on one side and
pedo bear on the other?
Pedo bear on the
pedo
other.
Bear on the
That's
other.
Not right. Yeah. I'm sorry. All right, in my version, I was envisioning the toddler, you know, clothed. So, you know, you old perverts can get the fuck out of that. So.
But it was just a face in what I was thinking.
Oh, there you go. That's
was
a good
the
one.
Same.
Yeah.
I was the same.
So. Yeah, so who's the fucked up one now, Morbs?
I'm still going to say Madman, but, you know.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you what's going to be on my Bitcoin, because if you're going to go low, you just go straight to the fucking bottom.
Smoke weed every day. And as our data clearly shows, humans cannot be trusted.
So that's it. Is it time for the Pac-Man sound?
I think Pac-Man died.
Oh my god, there's a Minecraft server on this dark web map.
Is it full of porn?
I hope so.